Where are we in terms of information on toxicity of bevacizumab, and how do you think that's going to play out in the adjuvant setting?
So I think that the adjuvant therapy, of course, is harder to deliver in lung cancer than in other diseases for a variety of reasons, and that the toxicities of bevacizumab are the synergistic toxicities with chemo are not trivial. Nonetheless, they are in general outweighed by the survival benefits we see. I think the risk of febrile neutropenia is clearly enhanced. The risk of grade 4 neutropenia is clearly enhanced.
Can you talk about those numbers?
So in 4599, the most recent review of the data shows about a 5% incidence of febrile neutropenia with the combination of bevacizumab added to carbopaclitaxel as opposed to about 1% for the chemotherapy alone. There were also about 15 deaths potentially attributed to bevacizumab-based combination versus only about 0.5% in the control arm of chemotherapy alone. So those differences are potentially significant, and I think that when one has a discussion about bevacizumab with a patient, they need to explain that there's about a 1% risk of fatal hemoptysis, there is an increased risk of heart attack and stroke, but nonetheless, at the end of a year, there's more people standing who had the bevacizumab, and at the end of 2 years, there's more people standing who have the bevacizumab.
Any way to predict whether or not a patient would be at risk for bleeding with, you know, no evidence of disease?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know of, other than the obvious things, whether they want anticoagulation or had some bleeding diathesis or known factor deficiency. I don't know of anything, unless you had something particularly unusual about their surgery, that would predict for bleeding in the adjuvant setting. And certainly I would expect substantial bleeding to be less in that setting.
Are you part of the camp that believes that these bleeds are probably manifestations of tumor response?
I'm not sure. I think I personally believe the bleeds are probably somehow related to a histologic type of lung cancer rather than necessarily where they're anatomically located or the response per se. I mean, there's data, at least anecdotally discussed, that they're, and I haven't reviewed this myself, or I don't know that it's necessarily been published, but that bevacizumab can be given quite safely in small cell lung cancer. Well, that's a very chemo-responsive tumor. So you're giving a drug probably with chemo that's quite active, and you're seeing a lot of shrinkages, and yet you don't see bleeding. So I think it's probably a biology difference between, say, a squamous cell tumor and a small cell tumor, both of which are centrally located, both of which can be endobronchial, both of which can change rapidly, rather than a location issue.